to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
I don't know who's more nervous about today's message, you or me. I want to let you know I'm not nervous. I'm ready. I'm excited about today. Today's going to be a great opportunity for us to be a little bit playful with all of this. I don't know if you can tell, but obviously that video was filmed before like everything went nuts. This is early spring, everybody, right? And look at how things have changed. And we can see how an event like that can change so much in our life, but today we're going to talk about just really more substantial things that I think have more impact on really the prevailing sense of our nation. Now, I'm not only not afraid, like I am ready, but I'm also excited about today. In fact, I gave this sermon to people, and listen, these people know sermons, and they read the sermon, and they thought it was perfect. They thought the sermon was perfect. In fact, these people, and they're great, did I mention, and on all sermons, they thought it was huge. In fact, the only person that didn't like this sermon, it was China. They don't like anything I preach. They don't like me. You guys are like, sitting on your hands. Don't do that. In fact, I resonate with both candidates, I will tell you. There's a lot of you in the room that think that I hide in my basement all week and come out and work one day a week yourself. And so listen, we laugh, smile at a brother. That ain't bad, right? That ain't bad. And I do resonate with both of them because they're both really old men, and that is like my spirit animal. So today's going to be a riot. It's going to be huge. No malarkey. We're gonna be playful with things, but at the same time, I think that we're going to give a little bit of God's perspective on all of this. But Pastor Joe, you can't preach about politics. Friend, listen, I can't tell you you have to vote. I can't tell you who to vote for. In fact, the Johnson Amendment, which limited free speech of preachers like me, made it so I couldn't do those two things. But I can talk about issues. I can talk about what's going on in our world. I can talk about things that have a huge relation back to the Bible, because there's a lot of things that have become political issues that really aren't. And in fact, it is part of a grand tradition in our country, something called the Black Robe Regiment. Way back in the day, and this had far more to do with, call it the Anabaptist Quakers, and of course, Catholicism and Reform crowds, their preachers wore black robes. And it was through all the Christian denominations, to be sure. But at the same time, these men of God, every single year, would have annual election sermons, and it was stirring. And the Johnson Amendment actually came out in the 60s. It was to prevent men of God from preaching against some of the awful segregation laws, and it was a way to kind of put a threat there. If you talk too much about segregation, we're going to take your tax exempt away, which is so wrong, and I can clearly say that, but all things being equal, the Black Robe Regiment is something you should Google if you don't know what it is, because it's really something I believe God would have us do, is to take responsibility in this nation and talk about some of the issues that are most important to all of us. Now, I will tell you, I am not a political preacher. I'm just not. I don't get up here and tell you about blue and red. I don't tout the merits of either party. I don't talk about those things. I will give you definite views on things that have nothing to do with politics. Sometimes that makes one or other or both parties upset. And I'll just tell you, I have a license to do that. And so I'm meddling in areas that are so good for us really to question. Now, my dad would always say, never talk about politics or religion. And then he would continue on to talk about both of those things very freely. And the reality is, so do you. What I'm going to do today is not talk about politics. I'm going to talk to you about principles. But every single week that we gather, it is in some ways a political message. Why? We're declaring our allegiance every single time we gather together. Amen, somebody? And so it's so important for us to talk about some really important issues, because this has been an incredibly divisive election. The last one, I think, took the cake on being a divisive election, but this one, nonetheless, I think that the stakes are probably greater than they've ever been. It's been a very strange election season. We've seen the nation change fundamentally in the course of 9 months in culture, in tone, and in tenor. And I'm just happy that at least we found the two most liked, well-respected, trusted people in the country to be our candidates. And it's good for you to laugh. That's healthy. That's going to help today. Yet, when I see families divided, when I see friendships being torn, when I see insults spewed back and forth to the point where I would blush in front of my kids if somebody said that in front of my family. And we've become used to a lot of that in the last several years, right? But guys, we have to understand, we need to talk about this. Because this division is something that divides the church up. Ha-ha, there's the whole point. We can't let this be something that divides up the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? So these are things that we need to talk about. And as a pastor, I know I need to help us through these things so that we can understand how to approach this crazy political climate as a born-again believer. Because this is affecting not only just like our daily lives, but it's affecting our love walk. We're starting to dehumanize people. We're starting to look at just our neighbors as enemies. And guys, it's not right. So I'm going to give you some principles today and then some practical things, as always, that we can be able to plug into our lives. If you're taking out notes or if you have anything to take notes with, take that out right now. If you're also watching online, hit the share button. I think it's safe now. And make sure that you share this with everybody on your page. In fact, for those of you in the crowd today, I invite you to do the same thing as well. I think this is going to help a lot of people this week. The first thing I want to tell you, write it down, and I didn't create a slide for this one, but I'm not afraid of and I'm not worried about, especially, this election or the results of this election. And I'm not downplaying the electoral process or the fact that we need to be engaged in a process. Right, Pastor Joe, it's because God is in control. Well, that's a very limited statement if you mean that no matter what happens so far as the election results are concerned, if you mean that no matter what happens, that was God's decision, well, that's not true. God is in control in the prevailing sense, in the broad sense, but I want you to understand that the affairs of man are actually governed by our will. Let me read for you out of Proverbs chapter 21. I'm going to start in verse 1. Proverbs 21, the Bible says this: "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." See, Pastor, that's what I'm talking about. God's in control. Now, keep reading. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes." Now, wait a second. We just talked about the king. Now we're just talking about everybody. We're talking about a man, right? "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do," now verse 3 right here, here's the action. "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." What is this saying? The Bible is saying here that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Then it starts talking about the affairs of man. What is he saying? He's talking about all of mankind with both of those things. God's heart, your heart is in God's hand. He is speaking to everyone, born again and not born again. If you're not born again in the room or watching, he is speaking to you about his son, about the most important thing, about resolving what are you going to do about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But if you're born again in this place, God is speaking to you about what you need to be doing next, direction. He is speaking to you about what is the right decision, the most prudent thing for you to do. He's also giving light to the fact that he's speaking to kings about that. Kings in the Bible are literal kings for sure, but they're also the people that are the head Fred, if you will. It's the president, the prime minister, the head leader, even down to a village president or a mayor, okay? And what God is saying is this: I'm telling them the right answer. How often do you know what to do in your heart and you choose to do something else altogether? So it's not impossible, right? God is saying, even when these guys know the right answer, and he's saying, I just want to give everybody who's a follower of God, because this is Old Testament, you're a follower of God, let me just tell you, your king knows the right answer. If they're not doing it, that's on them. He's actually making a huge distinction in between how everything plays out and his will. But he is saying this, that to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. He's saying this, those guys know the right decision, righteous decision, right? Right thing to do. And they know that it's going to be a sacrifice. Some people have to go into politics, and as a Christian statement, they get ridiculed because they vote their conscience and they don't play politics. And it becomes something that's very, very divisive, but it's a huge sacrifice. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, is that God is in control in the broad sense, like God is God. God is in control if you mean that the book of Revelation is going to play out exactly as Revelation is written. God is in control if that means that if you're born again and you're standing on the promises of God, you can have trust in him. But if you mean to say that everything that happens is in some sort of robotic structure of everything that happens is God's will, you're wrong. That does not bear out in the counsel of God's word. Somebody say amen. And so I'm not worried. In fact, the Bible says worry is a sin because I've read the end of the book, not because whoever wins is going to be the right decision. We've had plenty of elections. We have plenty of results in Congress that this hasn't been right. It hasn't been the best for the country. Some of those people, even in their parties, would look back and say, what our party did there wasn't the best. You know what I'm saying? And so realize that God's will doesn't always happen in a sterile way. That is not to say that the issues of our day are not important. It is to say they are maximum. They're a huge amount of importance on what we're going through. We have a part to play. That's what I'm conveying. Is that if born-again people can do their part, that's where we're going to win. And yet, at the same time, we need an eternal perspective. So write this down. It all begins with God, and it all ends with God. Can I get an amen? The first things that I'm going to talk to you about today are going to be principle-level things that I believe we all can agree on, as Christians especially. And so make sure that you give me some feedback on that. Next one, write this down. Our unity in Jesus is more important than our unity in politics. That's so important. Our unity as Bible-believing Christians is so important. I could tell you, and not just in this election, but any election, let's just say for the rest of my career, I could try to tell you the wisest person to vote for. Okay, this is the person I think is the wisest. Guys, vote for this one. If I did that, though, I run an incredible risk. And the risk is that that person will not remain true to their cause, that they'll change, that their position might change, their platform might change, and their personality might offend you. Which, if you think that only the guy on the other side is offensive, honey, you got to look at your own party and say, you know what, my guy's probably just stench in their nostrils as well, right? So if I come up here and endorse it, this is the person I think it is really going to turn a lot of people off, and in fact, it's not really going to be influential. If I endorsed a party, the party could change. And in fact, we've seen that with, I would say, both parties in the last 5 to 10 years. There's been a fundamental shift. They were actually far closer together. And with the advent of communications like social media and your own pet news companies, it's polarized our views and made people double down into the most radical part of their beliefs. There's few people actually in the middle anymore. But if I endorsed a party, that party could change. And then all of a sudden, you'd look back and you'd listen to one of my messages and it wouldn't be relevant. And I'll tell you, that's one of my real influences in preaching this message today, is that if my children or grandchildren, if the Lord tarries, which I think he's going to come back, but anyway, another message, that's another good topic to talk about, but if they were to look through my messages 50 years after today, and they just saw that I was in here preaching about friends or generosity or even the Holy Spirit, don't you think that that would be incredibly out of touch? In fact, let me put it this way. Let's just say that my great-grandfather, or my grandfather, let's start there. My grandfather was a preacher during the civil rights movement of the 60s. Don't you think it'd be very abstract if I look back and he said nothing about what was going on? Right? Okay, let's go back to the Civil War. Wouldn't it be weird if my great-great-grandpa so-and-so was a preacher, and you look back, he's not saying anything about slavery? Jump to World War II. What if we had a relative way back there and we looked through their sermons and you're not preaching anything about the Nazis, anything about people going into ovens? And so, gang, listen, I can't necessarily talk about the parties or the people at play, but I can talk to you about the principles around them, and I think I have a responsibility to do it. So when we look back at this, we can say, no, we talked about this. So we could all be on the same page. I'm going to tell you another thing. Just like God speaks to our heart and then you're accountable, You're going to do whatever you want. This message all of a sudden is going to make you accountable. That's a really good thing. Amen, somebody. I'm going to tell you, if you become a Christian, though, a disciple of Jesus is going to have a changed heart. If I come up here and try to change your mind about this issue or that issue, but there's no change in here, you're eventually just going to be lit down, and your mind could be swayed any other direction. A changed heart, friend, is going to yield a changed vote, will yield a changed country. Sometimes we try to fight our political battles so tough, and what you need to realize is they can't hear what you're saying because they don't see it your way. We have to let Jesus do his thing here. Jesus is more important than our unity in politics. When I talk about a political issue, the conversation becomes very narrow. If I talk about Jesus, all of a sudden, it becomes wide enough for everybody. Now, Jesus has a narrow way. He's controversial all on his own. Let's let Jesus be controversial, and let's not bring all the politics in it and really turn people off that might otherwise actually be won over in that way, but the most important thing being their heart. Amen? Write it down. Jesus is the lead conversation. That's the focus. That's what we're leading with, you know? And I have seen more people in this election cycle come up and say, you know, they're witnessing. They're like, are you voting red? Are you voting blue? And you're witnessing so much more about these two old farts. God bless them, you know, and you love yours, and I love mine or whatever, but these two oldies, right? You're evangelizing these men way more than you ever evangelized Christ. And so make Jesus the lead conversation. He'll change a heart, and then if you're the right one, indeed, let's just all agree today we're right, right? If you're the right one, they'll be won over to the great truth that you're trying to portray. Amen, somebody? I got to move on. Write it down. The biblical supersedes the political. The biblical supersedes the political. Not every talking point that comes out of a politician's mouth is politics or becomes politics that I can't talk about. I'm going to tell you, that is very frustrating because so many of these things, they get adopted by these political parties as something to campaign on and stump about and tell people this is what you need to do, but they're not political issues. Or they'll use them or misuse them to serve their circumstance. In fact, God, through the Bible, deals with so many of the issues that have become political in today's atmosphere, in today's culture. And he deals with them in a direct way. And I got to tell you, there's a difference in between political issues and biblical or moral issues. If God's word talks about it, I have a responsibility. Not just like, okay, Pastor Joe, we'll let you meddle. No, no, no. You're not allowing me to do anything, A. And then B, I'm going to preach God's word. I'm accountable to him and his word. I can prove to you I didn't write this. And so I have a responsibility. I think we as Christians have a responsibility to zero in. God, what did you say? And I'm going to make my worldview line up with what you said first. And then if I have other fringe things that I'm interested in or a different approach or a different way to do things, those are all phenomenal. But if I'm not zeroing in on what Jesus wants first, who's really Lord here, guys? And so write it down. My belief is this. We all have a part to play. All of us. We need to find in God's word. What does he say about it? Zero in on that and make that our belief system. Now, if you're in here and you're starting to tighten up a little bit, you can see where this is going and you don't like, let me tell you something right now. You think Jesus has only stepped on your feet? Do you know what some people around you have had to give up, sacrifice, let go about their, I've had deeply held beliefs about things, ways to do things that I've had to put the axe to. So if you're in here and your backside's getting tighter than a chicken's and you're just uncomfortable as all get out, you can't stand that I'm doing this, check yourself. The message of Jesus has always been countercultural. It's always been a message of sacrifice. It's always been a message of a cross. So you might have to die. Welcome to New Chapel. Here's a great message. Jesus preached the same one, though. You're going to have to die to some things that you hold very dear. But with every death in Christ, it's followed by a glorious resurrection. He's not looking for your agreement. He's looking for your obedience. Okay, so what do we do, Pastor Joe? How do we approach that? Those are great principles. I think we all agree on. What do you want me to do? Number one, do your homework. I'm doing mine. Do your homework. Well, I know what my people believe because I go to a job and they have a special hall that's associated with it, and I went there and they told me what to believe. I know they did. You do your own homework. You do your own homework. And this is both nationally, because this is a general election, but these are the elections everybody's getting excited about. There are elections, by the way, after this, before, it's going to keep on going. So you got to both have the national things on lock of who you're going to be voting for, but I can't tell you. I remember I lived on the east side of the state, which I'm so glad God delivered me from the east side of the state in Jesus' name, but I lived over there and I was voting and I got into the booth and I pulled the little curtain. I get in there and I'm voting for my guy, right? And then I look at the rest of it and I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. Thank God I had an iPhone. I'm Googling it, you know, but I'm taking 30 minutes inside that stinking booth, you know, I'm making the line longer. And so realize, do your homework nationally, but do your homework locally. Locally, there is a sheriff, and I think she's actually really good. She's nonpartisan. So I think she did a good job. Maybe you think somebody else did a great job, whatever. But there's a sheriff running. There's other people running for different positions. I think we have Kent County Treasurer. We have a lot of other different issues besides just president. And most of your daily life is being dictated by people that are on a local level. It's way more than on the national level. Anybody in Michigan just want to say a little amen to that? Local matters. So how did I do my homework? I actually found a website called Vote Under God. I went to Billy Graham's website. His son Franklin Graham's done a great job. I compiled all of that for you. Here's the website. It's newchapel.com/vote. Okay? Here's what this page doesn't do. Doesn't endorse anybody. Here's what the page does. Has a ton of Bible verses on it that you need to read. You need to be confronted with them from both sides of the aisle. Okay? This has incredible information. I wish I could scroll through right here, but I have voter guides from three key sources, okay? Vote Under God. I have another one from millionvoices.org, and I have another one from Right to Life Michigan. On that page, it's easy to remember here, newchapel.com/vote. You're not going to forget it. If you go there, the Right to Life website has a little ballot generator. All of the candidates that have been endorsed by pro-life, or they're pro-life and they've been endorsed by Right to Life. If you don't know who to vote for, you go in there, you put your name and your zip code, and it plops out your individualized ballot with every issue that's on the ballot. And it says these, and if they weren't endorsed either way, then it doesn't have their name on it at all. But if they're pro-life, it has their name on it. So you go on there, do your homework. Okay? And you look at all these different things. Another thing that I put on this website is voter guides that simply have all the different issues, and then it has the face of the two people, and it says, do they oppose it or do they support it? And it goes through everything. It talks about every issue that's really the hot button thing. Okay? I also put that together for the parties, for the red and the blue. Do they oppose or support? Okay? And then I even went down to the Michigan level with, we have two people running for Senate right now, and I have the guy, I have two guys up there, and whether they oppose or support all these major issues, and some of them are the ones that affect Michigan. Now, Pastor Joe, you're stepping on my feet. Again, I have a license to do that. Makes me feel good when I do it. Okay? My love language is stepping on your feet sometimes, from time to time. I love you. Smile at a brother. Smile at a brother! Come on! Don't leave me up here hanging. You go on there. I challenge you, you look through it. You disagree with everything I said, that's your prerogative, okay? But I challenge you, you look over it, and you see what God can do. And if you don't know where to go to get all the issues, I know there's judges running. We're going to talk about that in a second. That's going to tell you everything. Who's pro-life in all of that? Okay, got to move on. Number two, and number two, by the way, is going to take up the majority of our time. I have 4 points today. Three and four are going to go blazing quick. But number two, I'm making some issues more important than others. As a Christian, I believe that we have to approach an election differently than a normal person, than an unbeliever would. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? We look for righteousness. Proverbs chapter 14, the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Well, Pastor Joe, I just don't think that we should legislate morality. Really? Thou shalt not murder is like a great moral law. I think it's a keeper. Well, that's a common morality, en contraire. You're of the perspective that there's any civilization apart from Christianity. Well, these people, some of them live in incredible houses and they're very successful. There's people that live in mud huts in Haiti that are far more civilized than some of the people that we're propping up as civilized people. You understand what I just said? And so listen, we need to vote for righteous laws. I am a person that's for as much liberty as we possibly can give people. At the same time, you better not be stepping on anybody else's. And so we need to vote for righteous laws. Now, you have to look for righteous policies, not necessarily people that you would look at and say that this is a righteous person. You know, King David in the Old Testament was a righteous leader. In fact, a lot of the Psalms that you enjoy reading, and it's such great worship to God as you read them, it's incredible. He was a great leader in many right, but at the same time, he made a bonehead decision. He made the decision to number the people. Do you remember that story? God said, do not number the people. I don't want you to do that. It's going to have bad ramifications. It's not numbering people in and of itself is evil. When you do it, how you do it, in that moment, it's going to ruin everything. And it did. It actually brought a huge curse on the people. 50,000 people died because of that decision. Righteous leader. Bonehead decision. King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. Another guy, really good doobie, righteous guy. And accept the fact that he shared military secrets with the Assyrians, and it caused a curse to come on the nation. So you can't necessarily look at personality. There's been people in my lifetime, I thought they were very presidential. I thought that these were good people, and in many ways, they were good fathers, they were good men, that they commanded the respect of their family, their friends really loved them, they found them to be integral people. But some of the decisions they made, from my group and probably from yours, I look at it and think, what? What were you thinking? You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily, listen to me, how great the person is. It's the platform. When you realize that in American political, the climate, the way that it works is the platform drives the candidate. They can't even decide so much of that. They have to stand on the platform that's being decided for them. So you're going to have to look for righteous policies. You can have great leaders, and they can do stupid things. And you can have some pretty wild people out there, and they can do great things. Write it down. It's not just the quality of leaders. It's the quality of policies that they have. If you're looking for one among any of our political culture for the last 100 years that has no sin, honey, get in line. We can't find them. But you're going to have to actually fall back on the platform, on what they stand for. So, begs the question, Pastor Joe, what should Christians look for in a platform? I'm glad y'all asked. Y'all set me up so well for these things. I want you to think about the prophet Isaiah. God sent him to speak to the king of Israel. This was in the reign of Manasseh, who was a really bad king. And Isaiah is bringing the word of the Lord, and they're trying to right the ship, trying to make things right again in Israel. Isaiah 1, Isaiah says this, "Then I will give you good judges and wise counselors like you used to have. And then," and if you're reading this in a Bible, you got to circle it right there, "then you shall be called a city of righteousness, the faithful city." Then, very important word, listen to me why. It's conditional blessing. You do this, God's going to be able to bless it. You can't go and vote and live and act however you want. There's an umbrella, and underneath that, if you can think of it that way, this is what God's going to bless. If you go out from underneath that blessing, you're on your own. But he's saying, if you go back to what I told you to do, go back here, that's where the blessing actually is. Write this down. This is key. This is key. God bases the righteousness of a nation on the quality of the judges that it has. What about the king? I just told you, some of those kings were rolling through at that time. The local level, right? The real decisions of our life. And if you actually look at the things that grieve the heart of a Christian right now, they weren't decided by Congress. Congress was too lily-livered to decide what they made the courts decide in Roe v. Wade. That was wrong. That was legislation from the bench. That's not how our republic works. We're of laws. These are unelected people that made some permanent decision, and it's not. And I'm praying against it with everything in me. I'm going to tell you something. The issues that grieve the heart of a Christian, most of them, the banner issues you're upset about, they were decided on by a judge, or they're going to be facing a judge. Wow. The abortion component, massive, but also think about redefining what a family is. It's all from the courts. If you get the right kind of judges, God will bless a nation. Now, that's how you bring a nation back to righteousness. God actually has a prescription on how to begin a nation. You know how he did it? He did it with Abraham, right? I'm going to read for you what he spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. This is key. A lot has to be given to this. In fact, I think this might be the paramount thing. Genesis chapter 12, God is speaking to Abraham. He says, I will make you a great nation, prophesying about this nation of Israel. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed. Here, God is making a covenant with the nation of Israel. Yes, the Jewish people, for sure, they're God's chosen people. But listen to me. I'm talking about the nation. Oh, you're talking about ancient Israel. No, I'm talking about Israel as it exists today, is the resurrection of that, a miracle of God, happened in a moment, prophesied for thousands of years, the only nation that had been separated and thrown into disillusion that reassembled with the same culture, same unity about beliefs. I'm talking about Israel as it exists today. You bless it, God blesses you. You come against it, you're coming against God. Hear me. How you treat Israel is how God is going to treat your country. Write that down. The way my country treats Israel is aligned with how God treats my country. Understand that. You bless Israel, God blesses you. Why are we sending all that money over there? Because we're smart. However you look at it, whether it was, as some people say, left over from the previous administration and boom, that was why our economy was so good. Or whether the dude that's in there now, he had that magic wand that everybody's talking about, and boom, he made it good. It never hit until the embassy of the United States was in Jerusalem, the sacred and eternal capital of Israel. Wow. Quiet in the church house. I'm going to tell you something. The blessing of God, whether it was because of policies before, it was unleashed when we blessed Israel. You understand what I just said? It's a huge, huge deal. I want to read for you Psalm 105. The Bible says this. He remembers his covenant forever. That's God. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham. By the way, we're only about 200 generations from Abraham as we sit right now. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23 that God doesn't lie. Here's what I'm telling you. God ain't faking out. He has a covenant with the nation of Israel. You bless them, God's going to bless you. Say amen, somebody. So you don't have to like your candidates. How you have judges is going to determine so much of the course of your country. The decision that you make about serving and promoting and blessing Israel is going to determine the unleash of the blessing. And then finally, as God built his nation, the nation of Israel, he gave them 613 commandments. These 613 commandments were to try to take people that were in abject slavery and poverty in Egypt and try to take these slaves and make them into a civilized country. These had to do with everything: taxes, debt, the economy, welfare, healthcare, education, immigration, war, military, foreign relations, environment, criminal justice. Now, every presidential election that we have, they actually zero in on about 30 to 40 issues that define that year's United States presidential election. And that's great, because the Ten Commandments actually cover all of these things. See, to God, some issues are more important than other issues. God prioritizes certain issues above others. Now, not all issues are as important. And in the top 10, which I can't go over all of them now because it would be exhausting, okay? I'm going to give you three. But in his top 10, there are things like this. I am the Lord thy God. What is that saying, Pastor Joe? This is talking about public religious acknowledgement. In other words, is it okay to be a Christian in public anymore? Or are we going to get thrown in prison or fined or jailed or have our business license taken away if we won't bake a cake or do the thing or do the dance or... You know, the sign of the end times, listen to me, is not just homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's militant homosexuality. Come out that we might lay with him. It's forceful. You understand what I just said? It's militant. In other words, it's not just that you can't go live your life over here as a placid person living whatever lifestyle that you'd like. It's that you will accept me, and you can't speak a word against me. I'm sorry. They can lock me up, and it's not just on this issue, but on so many others. You try to get me to say what you want to say, I'm going to side with the Word of God. I was trained better than that. I am not going to back out for the man that laid down his life for me. Say amen, somebody. Are we going to be a religious nation or not? I'm not saying that we railroad people that are not living like us. That's not my message today. But surely you have to understand, we as born-again believers have this countercultural message, and we have to be able to live it out before God the way He prescribed it, not the way somebody else did. I got to move on. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, that is talking about, for sure, the role of sex in society. Everything from sex, of course, but sex trafficking. You know that if we closed down our southern border and absolutely only had portholes, all of the sex trafficking would drop so significantly, it'd be something the local police could just take care of? You think that the southern border has everything to do with humanity, but understand this, sex trafficking is happening today. I surely stand with African Americans, and I think that there's a lot that this country needs to grow in. But let me just tell you something. There are modern-day slaves, and it is greater than the slavery was ever in the United States because it's international. It exceeds the Jewish slaves, the African-American USA slaves, all the slaves that ever exist. There's more slaves on earth today. They're sex slaves. They're our children, our babies, our daughters, our young sons, and they get put into slavery, get cooked up on drugs, and they end up getting hooked on that stuff, and they end up dying or get killed when they're not useful anymore. Friends, listen to me. We need to be a nation that takes a strong stand against these things. Say amen, somebody. I'm talking also about marriage and family, the sanctity of the home. You lose the family, you lose the basic building block of a civilization. Civilized people are married in a home. They got kids if they can have them. I better move on. Thou shalt not murder. Okay, there's a difference between murdering and killing. I want to make this very clear. Maybe you're a veteran in here and you had to go do something grievous at war. I'm not talking about that. Killing somebody for a just call, that's war. Bible says there's a time for war. But murdering someone else, shedding innocent blood is how the Bible puts that. When you do that, it is wrong. And I am talking about that cardinal sin inside America right now, which is abortion, a grievous thing. You say, well, Pastor Joe, I just think that we ought to leave them alone. They should have a right to choose. There came a point in this country where we said, if you put that person into slavery, well, it's my property. You put that black person into slavery, I'm not going to let you do it anymore. Well, what are you going to do about it? I'll kill you. And we fought and won a war because of people that were oppressed, put down by everybody else, weren't given their didgeridoo. We fought a war, shed blood. So many northern people that never owned a slave in their life or in their generations fought and died and paid a price so that people could be free. And at the same time, understand, with these sex slaves that are happening, with abortions that are happening, there has to come a point that says, you're going to stop or else. You understand what I just said? There has to be an end to the bloodshed. Somebody give God praise for that. 613 laws. This is in the top 10. So listen, as a Christian, these and the others that I'm not going to mention in the top 10, but these and others are so important. These are what you look at. Judges, religious freedom, Israel. We're talking about abortion and family protection. These are not political issues. If your party has made them a political issue, you pray against it. I'm not going to leave my party. Great. You better get on your face and pray against it. You better not vote to support it while you're praying against it too. But you better pray against it so your party changes. Because you don't want the blood up. You don't want that on your hands, everybody. These are the issues that are important to God. Well, what about the environment? Hey, listen. That is a political issue in many ways, and if that's important to you, God does deal with it in those laws, but that can be number 11. What about immigration? That can be number 11. These ones, God, He looks at, and they're more important than everything else. We have to understand we can differ on policy technique, but as a Christian, we have to be loyal to God. Write it down. Whether you're electing county clerk or president, the platform is high above their personality. Can I get an amen? That's what it's all about. Now, I'll stop stumping so hard. Move on to number 3. Let's all agree on this one. What are you going to do about this, Pastor Joe? I'm going to pray. I'm going to get on my face and pray. I'm going to pray for our country. 1 Timothy 2, I urge you, first of all, that's where we miss it, isn't it? First of all, to pray for people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings, presidents, if you will, and all those who are authority, so that we can live. And this is what it's all for. Why are you preaching a political message? This is why. So that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Godliness, we're not going to compromise on our message. We're not going to hide. We have dignity, right? We want to live quiet and peaceful lives. I'm not rattling people's cages that disagree with me. That's not my MO. There's another group that'll rattle your cage. If you don't agree with them, they'll force you. But listen to me right now. You have to let us be believers in this country. Our laws supersede their laws. Did you hear what I just said? And so we've got to pray like crazy. Get off Facebook and get on your face. First, seek God. I know y'all think that you're doing the Lord's work when you share your favorite political guy's, you know, little thing. That'll show them, you know? I mean, God bless you. I only slipped up once in that last debate, and I was like, blah, blah, and it blew up, and I deleted it because I was like, this is crazy. It's got out of hand quick, everybody. And so get off Facebook and get on your face. Seek God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, this would happen if we actually do it. If my people, not everybody, just the Christians would do it, should humble themselves and pray, seek my face. Not my policies, my face, not what I can give them, my face, and turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear them from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal the land. I don't like this division in our country. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. There is an extremist group that is not going to allow it to go back to peace. When the election's over, buckle up. You think the last 4 years were politicized? It's not going away. It'll go away if you vote for them and you do everything that they say that they want. Yeah, that's peace. Listen to me. Peace can't come from all the externals that you're experiencing in this life. Your peace better come from Jesus. That's the only place that it's going to happen. We have to become a United States again. But you think, well, Pastor, let's just be peaceful and let's not engage. No, listen. Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus said that. Then you know what that tells me? Peace has to be made. That means men, women, you put your shoulders back and you start making peace in this world. Number four, I got to move on. I'm going to vote. What are you going to do, Pastor? I'm going to vote about it. I'm going to vote about it. That sounded a little country, didn't it? I'm going to vote. I am. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go in there just as happy as a lark in a sycamore tree. I'm going to vote. Our founding fathers warned us about this moment. John Adams said this, there is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the republic into two great parties arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil, and it is. Look at the division. If you're not part of my color, if you're not the red or the blue, then you're just dead. What? President Washington, General Washington, in his farewell address, he said this, that these political parties, they serve to organize faction, and we're seeing more of that in our streets. To give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority, make the public administration the mirror of an ill-concerted and incongruous project of a faction. In other words, it's not the majority, but this loud minority is going to be so loud, they're going to make you look at their mirror, and it's a funhouse mirror. It's going to say, you're actually racist, evil. You're actually abased. And people are like, I never felt racist. Well, you are. You're evil and you're wrong in everything that you do. I don't feel that. Well, you are. And if you don't drink the Kool-Aid, you're evil. Wow. Rather than the organ of a consistent and wholesome plan digested by common councils, they are likely to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be able to subvert the power of the people and usurp themselves the reins of the government. How prophetic. There was a poll not too long ago that said, hey, out of the people running, you know, do you want this person, do you want that person, or none of the above? And it was 65% said none of the above. You know, in an election, in a season where I'm talking about you can't look at personality and everything, I'm not telling you none of the above as though you can't vote. I'm going to vote. I encourage you to vote. In fact, Billy Graham said this, a vote withheld is a vote against Christ. You should go vote. You should go cast your ballot. You should go make that known. But this vote, I concede, is going to be hard for many people in the room. For many of you, this can be the first time you're breaking ranks, because it's the first time as a born-again believer you can see it. And though you might side with a lot of things from old territory, you're coming into a new life. Many are going to struggle to yield their vote to God, but remember, it's not who you're voting for, it's the platform, it's what you're voting for. I confess, and I think you expect this of me, I'm conservative morally, right? I'm a pastor. But I'm not like a card-carrying member of any particular party. I'm not an R, you know, I'm not a D, I'm not an elephant symbol, I'm not a donkey symbol. In fact, I'm like the prince of politics, right? I'm undefinable, right? I'm my own symbol, I'm my own thing. But I'm going to vote my beliefs. And I'm going to vote what God, I believe, would have me do to move the ball down the field. And at the same time, we want God to pick our side. I don't think God does that. Let me read for you one last long passage out of Joshua 5. Not long, but now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man, remember that, standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. This is the peacemaker. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Verse 14, the man says, "Neither, but as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come." This, by the way, y'all look at me, this is the pre-incarnate Jesus. The armies of the Lord, they answer to him. Then Joshua fell face down, and that's what we need to do, to the ground in reverence, and he asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals. Take off your little outfit that says, I'm with these people, right? For the place that you're standing is holy ground." And Joshua did so. I am so concerned about how Christians are engaging this process with no reverence for anyone else, no reverence for their background. You're not trying to be influential. You're trying to make your point and drive it home. And I think you need to look back, and if the consequence for this election is so great, check yourself. Take off your shoes. You are on holy ground. In other words, approach all of this with a little bit of a stride that says, I don't know everything. And also realize, he's coming back on a horse, not a donkey, and not an elephant. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? Well, Pastor Joe, what flag do you wave? Is it the red flag? Is it the blue flag, friend? I ain't from France, but I am waving a white flag, and it is the flag of surrender. Lord, I give you my vote. These people, I don't know if I could stand to be with them for half an hour. I don't know if they could stand to be with me. I'd start preaching to them. God, I don't know what's happening in our world. It's lost its mind. I'm going to vote as much as I possibly can on the platform that's going to move the values that you have down the field. God, I surrender my vote. When you go into that booth and you're all alone, you are on holy ground. You stand before your God and you vote your conscience, not necessarily everything that you believe. Vote what you believe here. Side with the Word of God, timeless and tested, always beats out popular, rushed, and forceful. And then when this is all done, I have a message for everyone. Psalm 46, and I want to pray. Psalm 46, 10, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. When this is all over, we will elect another president. The face of the Senate or the House might change locally. We might have some mix-ups. Whatever happens, I have a saying in my household. It typically comes before I discipline my kids. I say, Dad's boss, Jesus is king. Whoever's sitting in that spot of authority, you remember that there is a God that sits on high, that no matter what culture or civilization or country a Christian finds him or herself in, we can stand before our Lord and prosper, be blessed, and get our gospel out to as many people as possible. There will come a day, hear me, where it's not going to be very popular, and it's not going to be legal for Christians to go out and spread this message. They'll call us bigots and haters. You stand up for your Jesus because he stood up for you. Don't let the dirt hold you back from your duty. You vote your conscience, and what we're going to see is peace be made in our country. Can I get an amen, somebody? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, that we can lift the white flag. We can say we don't understand it all, but we give it all to you. Lord, we yield our hearts, and that makes it easy to yield our votes. Lord, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice that in a political message still feels the presence of God and the draw of the gospel, they want to make peace with you, help me to find them. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. You're in here and you say, Pastor Joe, that's me. I don't have a relationship with God. The only way to do it is by accepting Jesus Christ. See, the only one that could broker that peace is Jesus, God's one and only Son. The Bible says that when you call Jesus Lord, you will be saved. That means you'll have an eternity in heaven. You'll avoid a Christless hell. We're going to say a prayer, and Christians all over this auditorium right now are going to say it with you as a declaration of their faith. The Bible says if you mean it in your heart, that you'll be saved. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, y'all pray this prayer out loud with me. Everybody say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put your spirit within me. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ. Listen. If you accepted Christ in this place, you got to let us know. Go to newchapel.com, hit that connect with us tab, and let us know about your decision. We're proud of you. We want to send you information about your next steps in Him. Let's give it up for Him one more time, church. Stand up on your feet, gang. The one last thing I want to share with you is that child dedications are coming up. It's going to be on November 29th after the 11 o'clock service. If you have never dedicated your child to the Lord, you can let us know at guest services or online. However you do it, I'd love to be praying for you and your whole family. Next week, everybody say next week, we're going to be preaching a series called Leftovers. And somehow I'm going to be taking the pieces of November and cooking up something delicious for all of us. And so you want to invite everybody that you know for next week. In fact, I'm just asking you, invite somebody to church. I think we're going to have a riot as we conclude 2020. As always, we're praying for you. Let us know if you have a prayer request on the connection cards. We'd love to agree with you. Don't leave this place if you have a need in your spirit, soul, or in your body. I want to pray for y'all as we go out there into the wild. Y'all ready? Lift your hands for a blessing. We need it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine on you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, have an awesome week, guys.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.